You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 25th of October. A few more thoughts about Rudy Gobert and Emmanuel Mudiay from opening night. How to guard Anthony Davis and a brain dump on the first moments, nights of action around the NBA. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making your experience way better as a Jazz fan. So we're on the plane yesterday, and all of a sudden, like for whatever reason, Ron Boone goes, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum. I was like, oh no, how do you know about that? He's like, well, I listen to Locked On Jazz. No, Ron, like you're not allowed to do that. Like I appreciate Ron listening, and he actually thinks that any of this is worth it after 50 years in the league. But it was so, like, I admire Ron. I look up to Ron. He's kind of my, like, you know, sensei. And I was, you know, the drum roll is ridiculous and sophomoric and childish and was a joke from 9 years ago that we had no production. It was such an amateur show that I had to do my own production. And now Ron Boone's hearing it. So I was a little mortified of that. I may be very fresh today. I may be very, very acute with my thoughts because I went and did cryotherapy over at Restore for the first time ever. Thanks to Dash and the guys there that gave me the experience. I also did the red light, which our trainer, Eric Waters, really believes. And I talked to Eric for a while on the plane about the whole cryotherapy and things like that. So, you know, if I'm particularly fresh and concise with my thoughts today, that's why. It also might be because I forgot to hit record and have already done this half of the show, first half of the show once today. So it could be either of those two things. Hope you're having a great Friday. We're in L.A. If you are a foodie, I will kind of give you the food reports this year. I am way into my food and head out to pretty nice restaurants. Went to Felix in L.A. last night. It is been rated by Bon Appetit is the best new Italian, one of the best new Italians in America 2 years ago when it first came out. It was through the roof amazing last night. Through the roof amazing. Really just so if I would tell you if you're a high roller, it's worth a plane flight to LA. However, you've got to do, you know, the game to get a reservation. I was up at 1:01 in the morning Pacific time or 1:01 in the morning Mountain time about 2 months ago to get the reservation when it was actually available. So really incredible meal out in Abiquiti last night. All right, I want to talk about Rudy Gobert. So Rudy Gobert had 14 screen assists the other day, and we still aren't entirely sure, you know, what we think about screen assists and how we look at screen assists and things like that. So last year, Rudy Gobert led the league in screen assists with 6 per game. So for him to have 14 and create the amount of points he did off the screen assist in game one is a massive, like, that's if someone averaged 15, they scored 36. Now, there were some big screen assist numbers in night one. The one that's most interesting to me is Karl Anthony Towns had 13 screen assists that created 27 points. Jared Allen, who now has Kyrie Irving, had 15 screen assists for 35 points. And then it goes back. Andre Drummond was 6. DeAndre Jordan was 6. So Brooklyn, by the way, had 21 screen assists. And then Tristan Thompson, regular guys. There's a few things that are interesting on this to me. The comparison to me, what it signals to me about Rudy, when you look at Rudy and you see 15 contested shots or 19 contested shots, 14 screen assists. It's an unbelievable selflessness to his game. And let's be perfectly honest about it. That's what Rudy's choice is, right? Rudy doesn't have the offensive game of a Karl Anthony Towns or an Anthony Davis to be able to get the ball. Like, Rudy's going to get the ball because he sets a screen and he rolls and then creates something so that it's his, you know, his screen assists are for the ball handler and he's also getting himself open. But there is a complete selflessness to his game and a willingness. Now, the fact that Karl Anthony Towns suddenly did that in night one to me is really eye-opening because that's not something that Carl, my criticisms of Karl Anthony Towns and of Anthony Davis, who we'll see tonight, has been Karl Anthony Towns last year had 2.4 screen assists a game. 7-1, dominating pick and pop player, incredible 2.1 screen assists a game. Anthony Davis, dominating player, insane skills last year, 3.4 screen assists a game. To me, that's either poor coaching or an unwillingness of these bigs, and understand they're going to get the ball and they're, you know, you're not getting a screen assist if you're finishing your own play. But there's an element to that where there you have to be willing to give yourself up for somebody else and then maybe get it back rather than just getting it. When you, and again, let's be honest about who Rudy is. He doesn't have the ability to go get the ball himself. And so this is his way. So, yes, he's more committed to it than other guys. But you go have 14 screen assists a game, create 29 points. That is a massive impact on the game. Massive. That's a quarter of your team's points are coming off your screens. I'm not sure the league quite has it figured out yet how to discuss this. When Karl Anthony Towns has 13 screen assists and contests 17 shots to 20 shots defensively, I mean, that's that one we should keep an eye on. That's a game changer to who the Minnesota Timberwolves are. And they may have changed their offensive system to create it. You know, I talked about this, I think, yesterday because somebody tweeted at me, so I must have. I mean, there's just a play the two biggest plays of the game. Rudy's pick on Diallo that frees Donovan Mitchell is an unbelievable play. Like, you know, it's the old Sports Center should highlight. Yeah, they're not going to highlight screens, but that's really special. Flip side, Anthony Davis sets a half-ass pick for LeBron on a LeBron James-Anthony Davis pick and roll that should be amazing, rolls into the middle of the lane, so that then LeBron can't roll and then doesn't really make himself available for a pass, and a frustrated LeBron just kind of lofts in a bad pass, turns into a turnover. That's the opposite. That's where I've always still just had a little criticism of Anthony Davis, is that, like, there isn't that selflessness to give of yourself to win for the team. And Rudy is amazing at it. Or Rudy's figured out, like, that's how I'm getting the ball, right? I mean, so it is. There is definitely, I'm not trying to be naive to, this is how Rudy is going to exist. The other one that I think we should talk about is Emmanuel Mudiay. So Ben Dowsett had this note, tip of the hat to Ben, writes for Forbes, that when Emmanuel Mudiay was on the floor last year, or in the first game, the Jazz played 20% of their possessions in transition. So last year, the Jazz played 13.6% of their possessions in transition. More importantly, the Jazz were bad at it. They were the 25th-ranked team in transition in the league and only did it 13.6% of the time. So the Jazz want to run more. I have some reasons why I'm nervous about running more. I'll get into that in a second. But Emmanuel Mudiay and Royce O'Neal really ran the other night, and it gives the Jazz second team a look they don't usually have and they haven't had. And the key thing is what they do off misses. So last year, the Jazz were the 10th best team off makes. So you pick everybody's offense off makes, and the Jazz were the 10th best offensive team. That's Rudy's picks, Quinn's system. That's what we're good at. Off misses, we were 18th in the league offensively. Okay, that's where we've got to get better. We've got to, off of misses, rebound, go, get out, run, look ahead, make a play. It's also where, like, Donovan's life is going to be different. Mike Conley's life is going to be different. We can talk some more about what Mike's going through. And Mudiay did that in night one. There is a real emphasis by the Jazz to run. And my concern is, hey, who are we? We are the team that is number one in the league in drives, number one in the league in handoffs, number two in the league in picks with 87 a game. And I don't want to lose that. I think that's very important to who we are. That's why we're the 10th best team in the league off of makes. But Quinn's point is we don't have to lose that if we play with a push off of misses. Can we run off of misses? And Mudiay and O'Neal did a fabulous job of that in game one. Snowmobile show is coming. That's right. Today starts today, Friday, for you at 3 o'clock. From 3 to 9, the Utah Snowmobile Show, presented by Fly Racing, Snowmobile Association, and Snow West Magazine is starting at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy. You can go to snowwest.com/Utah to get your discounted online tickets. That's SNOWEST.com/Utah, or regularly priced tickets are at the gate. If you can't go today, 3 to 9, it's Saturday, 10 to 6. You want to be there. Booths from Arctic Cat, Ski-Doo, Polaris, all the 2020 snowmobile models, plus mountain sleds and kid sleds and family sleds and deep powder sleds and trail machine sleds and all the sleds you can imagine are going to be there, and all sorts of gear. So coats, snowsuits, pants, boots, helmets, gloves, backpacks, all at the snowmobile show, all under one roof. You can see them all at the show. 3 to 6 today, 10 to 6 tomorrow, Mountain America Expo Center, the Utah Snowmobile Show. Hope you have a great time. If you're looking for a little upgrade in your wardrobe, Indochino has the largest made-to-measure. I'm actually going to have to do an Indochino suit, by the way. The made-to-measure needs some measurements are a little different. Maybe because of that meal at like a place like Felix. You can use the promo code for Indochino. Promo code is locked, and you get 20 or locked on, and you get $30 off your total purchase of $399. $30 off your total purchase of $399. All right, how do you guard Anthony Davis? So first thing the Jazz could do is they might decide to start. You might decide to start Jeff Green instead of Royce O'Neal. So this is the flexibility that they have that they're willing to do. I mean, this is an incredible talent, right? Six-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA, three-time All-Defense. 2 years ago when he tried, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 53% shooting. He grew late in his life. He was a smaller kid. He went to and ended up, you know, great ball handling skills, 93rd percentile in assists. That's actually – but his effective field goal percentage has never been above average for his position. Low rim, high mid-range. He takes 6 shots a night at the rim. Here's what I think is going to be interesting about him. He shoots 34% on long twos. He has 13 actions a game in transition, and he's not a great isolation player. So how do you guard Anthony Davis? That's a lot of data there, so let's put it together into something. The first thing is, can you keep him out of transition? He's unbelievable running the floor. So we got to be a little careful with our running, because running leads to running. So 13 actions in transition, can you eliminate that? The second thing is, so he shoots 6 shots a night at the rim. By having him guarded by Jeff Green and JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard on the floor, what can you do that makes it so that he sees Rudy Gobert as the weak side defender and he's nervous about it? And that keeps him into the mid-range, because then you get into the fact that he's not a particularly good mid-range shooter. Like, he's not good. He's 34% on long twos. Now, he'll just, you know, they posted him up, I think, 19 times the other night in this kind of crazy, crazy post-up amount that we've seen. And, you know, it's been a long time. They had 18 post-up possessions. He was good on them, right? They scored on 72% of their post-ups on 9 of 14. We're going to see Anthony Davis in the post. But if Anthony Davis is in the post with Rudy Gobert lurking, can you make sure that he never comes in a manner that, you know, he's not passing off to Dwight Howard for dunks? He's a decent passer. Like, this is what makes him so darn incredible, is that he's a really good passer. So what can you do to try to get him so that the shot he's taking is the fadeaway? The other one about him that's interesting. Now, he had good success as a and it's hard with Anthony Davis to look at numbers. So last year on post-ups, he was in the 62nd percentile and shot 43%. Like, okay, I don't really care. As the pick-and-roll man, he wasn't great either. He's at 47%, where he's great, offensive rebound putbacks, transition, and his isolation game was decent at 45%, but I'm kind of willing to take those numbers. So if I can keep him in isolation, I can keep him as a post-up but not getting to the rim, those are going to be pretty good moments for us. If you take the 17-18 season, which might be a better year to kind of analyze Anthony Davis's game because he actually cared and tried. Nice to have these comments made about you. You go to his post-ups again, he's 47, 48%. Like, that's pretty good. It's not brilliant. And can you keep him again to the outside so they're a little less efficient? Transition, he's brilliant. Pick and roll, man, he was pretty good 2 years ago. But isolation, he wasn't, 36%. Mid-range shooting, not particularly good, 36%. So can you keep Anthony Davis? Can you have Rudy Gobert as the Jeff Green battle him hard enough, keep him far enough out that Rudy has enough space to get to him so that keeps him away from the rim in the half court and he's playing straight up isolation, he's playing spot up shooting games. That's the way to do it. And you've got to keep him out of transition. That's as much as anything else. You know, it's surprising if you look at players, if you can start to take them out of some of those aspects of their game, as great as they are, that those are the most efficient possessions. But he's, you know, his shooting accuracy, long mid-range shots, last year 41%, year before 46%, 36%, 34%, 42%. He gets in a little closer, he'll get to that 46. That's what that number was. But that's, even 46% is good. You got to keep him off the rim. A lot easier said than done. And he gets, 15% of his shots he's fouled. So how do you avoid doing that? So it's a tough task. And then defending, how do we match up? I would guess Boyan, if he plays, matches up against LeBron. Danny Green, I would guess, becomes either, if Boyan's at the three, Jeff Green's at the four, and Danny Green and Avery Bradley, probably Avery Bradley becomes Mike Conley, and Donovan Mitchell has to deal with Danny Green, and then Rudy Gobert is dealing with JaVale McGee. Be interesting to watch their bench. I mean, they had Troy Daniels, Jared Dudley, and Quinn Cook all on the court together at one point the other night. That's not the highest level group you're ever going to see. Brain Dump Friday. Bunch of thoughts without a lot of things from the NBA, but we'll do it coming up on Brain Dump Friday, just clearing all my thoughts as I head to the week about what I've seen around the NBA. Today's show brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. You know what's cool is I had to go take my son's car down to Murdoch Hyundai because it needed to get a little bumper fixed. Oops. And I was talking to the guys there, and I thought, this is interesting. Like, so how long you been here? 13 years. How long you been here? 14 years. How long you been here? 11 years. Oh, what's it like? Blake's the best. Oh, the Murdochs are amazing. How cool is that? So I've told you about the Murdochs are so interested in making sure that your experience is great at Murdoch Hyundai. And I've told you about the Hyundai experience and how Hyundai is this brand you might not know that well, but yet if you kind of dig into it when you're looking for a car, you get all the bells and whistles. But like, I'm talking to Stuart down there, and I'm talking to the guys in their service department. They've been there for a long time. The Murdochs treat them well. They took great pride in what they were doing. They were amazingly helpful to me. And they go above and beyond. Blake treats me like it's ridiculous how nice he is to me. And he can't just be doing this to me, frankly. I'm just not that important. So this is just who Blake is. Blake offered me to help me out with something. I was like, no, don't worry about it. And then by the time when I got there, he knew it would make my life easier, so he took care of it. Like that kind of niceness where I have said, no, I'm not asking for it. I don't need it yet. He knows it makes my life a million times better, so he takes care of it. That's what the Murdochs are all about. That's who they are as people. That's what their dealerships are like for their staff and for you if you stop by as well. It's Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. Stop by and say hi to the crew and experience that special Murdoch touch, that no regrets experience as a car buyer. All right, here's your Brain Dump Friday. Watch the Bucks and the Rockets. The Rockets are a force. Russell Westbrook is a force. James Harden is a force. The Bucks went to the same defensive style that the Jazz did the other night, and it worked. Like, this one's pretty interesting. As much as everyone has mocked the Jazz for what they did last year in the playoffs and what the Bucks did here, you go look at the data. It worked again. It worked last year. I ran the data on what the Bucks did to them. That defense, crazy defensive style of putting somebody on the outside shoulder of James Harden, not giving him some step back and letting him go to the basket, is working. It's a strange, weird, gimmicky, seemingly strange defense. You watch it and you think to yourself anytime he scores that it's not working. And if you actually dig inside the numbers, you see the exact opposite. Last night, their offensive rating was fairly not, it was fairly poor by the time that game was done. I will say this, it was a 101.8. It's one of their worst nights of the year. They don't get under 100 very often. They play with incredible force. Westbrook missed a bunch of key threes. Every time Westbrook uses a possession, he's less efficient than James Harden, and it's a win that he's using those possessions instead of someone else. That's undeniable. But boy, does he ever play with a force. Just an incredible, incredible force. And they'll play with that all season long because of it. And they get he gets to the rim, and he gets fouled, and he's a handful, and he's hard to play. I mean, he had 24, 16, and 7. He shot 7 of 17 and 3. He was great last night. Harden was not. Harden was 2 of 13 last night. But Harden's not in the same rhythm. Russell's taking the ball, going up. Like, it, Russell's great. They're playing with a force. I did get the feeling, as great as Russell was, every single time he brought the ball and did something with it, I was kind of okay with it. But if you look at their usage rate last night, Harden's at 36, Russell's at 31. James is just getting his stuff differently. He's not controlling the possession every play. There's possessions where he doesn't touch. That, in the long run, probably works out better. Giannis hit a bunch of outside shots last night on his way to an 11 of 17 night. Giannis assisted on 69% of the possessions when he was on the floor and had a usage rate of 40%. Giannis was amazing. 28 minutes, 30, 13, 11. Holy smokes, he might be better. That's really, really crazy. Clippers, Lakers. Had someone say to me, if you take the Clippers top 10 players and the Lakers top 10 players and you put them side by side, you're taking every Clipper player. Kawhi over LeBron, PG over AD, Lou Williams over Danny Green, Montrezl Harrell over whoever the Lakers' fourth best player is. Mo Harkless over Jared Dudley, right? You go down the list. I didn't do that in order. You would take every single one of them. Pretty interesting. Clippers last night were incredibly dominant. On rejecting the screen, NBA previews on the Lockdown NBA preview show, Rejecting the Screen did tomorrow's headlines. There's tomorrow's headline for the Warrior was, oh dear God, your defense is awful. The Clippers last night were a 133 offensive ranking. I don't know. Maybe the Warriors, oh dear God, the Warriors defense is awful is true. Let's see. Steve Kerr said afterwards that that's the new reality. But that's a pretty daunting reality if that is. Watched Phoenix and Sacramento. Phoenix is okay. Well, DeAndre Ayton out 25 games with some sort of using a diuretic, I guess. Phoenix, Ricky Rubio completely changes Phoenix. They go from the worst point guard play in the world to a guy who against bad defenses in Sacramento was a terrible defense, absolutely sees the floor and takes advantage of mistakes beautifully. That I'll give for all – Ricky took 5 shots the other night that while watching that made me throw up in my mouth. Like, it's still the same stuff. But it – his ability to see the mistakes by the defense and what the defense is doing is tremendous, gets his teammates good looks out of that, and that'll change who Phoenix is dramatically. You know, Igor just didn't have a point guard to run a complicated system. They started Eli Okobo and DeAndre Melton. I mean, I don't even remember who their point guards were last year, but they were not NBA players. And so that's a huge change. Sacramento looked awful. Now, they got throttled. It's opening night. Who knows? They looked awful. Disorganized, bad defensive rotations, seemingly no idea of what they were doing on the offensive end if they didn't run. I don't know what happened to them that night. They just really looked discombobulated. You know what the difference between preseason and regular season is? Oklahoma City runs Danilo Gallinari on a pin down throughout the all the time. And in the preseason, what the Jazz would do is go through shoot around and say, hey, here's a play they're going to run a lot of times. Be prepared for it. We'll try to defend it, you know, whatever. In the regular season, the Jazz go, okay, we're not letting them get that. And Danilo Gallinari didn't get his pin down at all the entire game against the Jazz. Now, as a broadcaster, I did a crappy job because the hardest thing to do is to tell you about something that's not happening. Like, that's a really hard thing, is to talk about things that aren't happening. And it didn't happen. And so they did they just took it away. So Gallinari doesn't get that shot. That's the difference between preseason and regular season. Buddy Hield is great. Like, he's just an incredible offensive player, incredible shooter. Sacramento just, but if they didn't get something in transition, it didn't feel as though they had quite the next play set up. A few other notes. Harden's push-off is being called universally across the league, which I think is great. What else did I have written down here? What they do versus how are they? I have no idea what that note is anymore. What other brain dumps do I have for you? I have two things I wrote down for brain dumps this week in my little folder, and I have no idea what they say right now. Oh, preseason versus regular season. I just shared with you. Rim shots last night. One thing I'm going to keep an eye on, they played Ilyasova at the five last night a lot. He actually was great. Houston got to the rim 38% of the time last night against Milwaukee. Milwaukee only got to the rim 24% of their shots last night. Kind of keeping an eye on where the mid-range shooting is early part of this season, I think it's going to be interesting. So let's do that as our final thing, just kind of the opening games. All the San Antonio Spurs took their 46%. Oklahoma City took the second most amount of mid-range. We took the sixth most amount of mid-range. That's not okay. We've got to get rid of some of that. The league average after one day is 69% of shots are mid-range shots. 69% are non-mid-range shots. The league average, the league median, not the league average, the league median last year on was 68%. New York was at 32% was the middle, and there actually was a little bit of a big drop. Like, that was kind of the breaking point of whether you were committed or not last year. So let's see if that changes at all. The league average last year in taking threes was 33% of shots. Our three-point shots last year was the league average. Will it go up this year? It actually grew less last year than it had in the two previous years. It was as though people thought we'd gone far enough, which is not true. Opening night, this was at 33% so far this year. So interesting. No shot distribution change here in the opening night or two of the NBA season. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. Thanks so much, Anthony and Adam. Do a great job with Locked On NBA. Rejecting the Screen had Ryan Russillo on. That's a great show. And remember, Sunday, Monday, drop of Hollinger and Duncan again. Have a great week. Thank you very much. Postcast, Empty the Noggin All afterwards. We'll be there here for you Saturday as well. Ron and I are on the floor at 6 o'clock before every game. See you. Bye.